Please be seated, won't you? Well, good morning. Today is Father's Day, which, as many of you might know, is a recent holiday invention. It doesn't have many roots other than, I think they started Mother's Day, and then later someone thought we should have Father's Day too. But it's a day that has become something important to us as we honor fathers. And if you're on Facebook or different things like that, you'll see lots of people posting all kinds of things about their dads and honoring them. And then at the same time, it might be a day where people who haven't had a great relationship with their father may grieve that relationship. But it's also a day in which we honor the best ideas of what that means. I'd like to preach about that today, but I think there's something more relevant to talk about. And that's some of the things that happened in Charleston this week at Emmanuel Church, a beautiful church that's got a lot of history behind it, probably a history most of us weren't aware of until this week. But there's also something that we experienced in our own community a little over a year ago when we had the shootings at the Jewish Community Center that were based on hate, based on race, and someone coming to do harm to people for the sake of who they were and really for no other reason. And I don't have really easy answers to talk about that, but I want you to stay with me through my sermon. And it might sound a little political at times, and so please stick with me and don't shut down, but listen. We have this kind of amazing story from the Old Testament. And it used to be that we didn't read this story in our lectionary until we went to a new lectionary a few years ago. And it's one of the best stories in the Bible. I don't know when the first time you heard it was, but my first time that I remember hearing it was this gentle old Presbyterian minister, I think, in Wichita used to read the funnies on the television on Sunday mornings, and I would often watch that before we went to church. And part of him reading the funnies, he'd often tell a Bible story at some point. And I remember hearing the story and being sort of caught up in it, and I was a kid who had a slingshot, and I thought it was really cool. And I remember being caught up in it. And the story that was always told to me was that David was supposed to be weak and ineffectual, and was not to really succeed, right? And I think if you read the story on the surface, that's really what it sounds like. David's just this sheep boy, he's just this guy, you know, he's just young, and there's no way he could defeat this great, experienced, longtime warrior, right? That's just on the surface, but if you really read the story, there's something else here. In that David does the unexpected. One of the questions I'd have for you today is, what clothes are you going to put on to see the world? What clothes are you going to put on to see the world? And I mean that by metaphor, not literally. The metaphor is, what are we going to put on? What are we going to let sort of temper our vision? What are we going to let control us? What are we going to let determine our thinking, determine our behavior, our attitudes? The first part of the scene in this is that when David comes up and he's getting ready to go out to the battle, what's the first thing they do? But they want to put armor on him. So they put a bunch of heavy armor on him and all this stuff. Now, this is a guy who's never fought in armor, and he's been out tending the sheep and doing this stuff, and he puts it on. He can't move. And really what that's about is they say, you need to fight on the terms that are laid before you, and that is, this is going to be a fight, so put these things on and go and fight, because that's what you do. And so he tries to put the armor on. He says, it's not going to work. Let's take it all off. All I need is these 5 stones and my slingshot, and I'll go out. And the person who sees him coming up is insulted. He says, what's this? Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? I'm a great warrior. And did you hear all the stuff he was wearing? You know, great javelins that weigh 5,000 shekels. And this guy's, you know, 6 cubits tall. This is really tall, by the way. You know, Cupid is. It's, you know, this is really somebody. It's something else. What David walks out in is, in an unexpected way, he uses a different tool. He uses his faith, and he uses something unexpected. And if you continue reading the story, this is about the person who will eventually become the leader of the Hebrew people, that will establish a temple, that will that we still say psalms that were written in. The psalm that we read for this morning would have been something that would have eventually come from his life and his work. But it's also a story about a sense of a new way coming into the world. If we just take this story, it seems violent and awful, and it seems to be sort of, you feel a little bit sorry for the Philistines, and you wonder what this is all about. But then on the other hand, when you see the larger story, it's the story of God's kingdom coming into the world. But what it takes, David, is to not do what's expected, to put on different clothing, and to rely heavily on faith. In the Sea of Galilee, which, just by the way, so you kind of get an understanding, it's not a sea in the way that you might think of that word. It's more like the really big lake of Galilee. This is where Jesus gets on the boat to go to the other side. They can see the other side. Now, the thing about the Sea of Galilee, it happens to sit sort of right in an area where the wind can really pick up quite a big clip. And if you've ever been out to a lake in Kansas somewhere where it happens to get a little windy, you can get some nice kind of heavy white caps and different things like that. If you've ever been on a lake when the thunderstorm suddenly comes in and you're on a boat, it's not a pleasant experience, right? And this is the experience that the disciples are having. And it's sort of this bizarre story where the boat's rocking like crazy and Jesus is asleep. Any of you have kids or people that are like that? You can be in the car and all kinds of crazy stuff can be going on and they're just sound asleep. Yeah. And the disciples are like, what? Are you crazy? Wake up. You know, we're going to perish. Which the few times I've been out on a boat in a storm, it certainly feels that way. And then the sea calms. And Jesus says, why are you afraid? It's another story of unexpected results. And if you continue the gospel reading, we'll hear more and more of these stories in which the viewpoint was not on the immediacy of what was happening, but on a longer-term view of the bringing of God's kingdom and of a view that's wholly different from the one that the people had at the time. How many of you have ever gotten into a discussion with somebody else? Anybody? How many of you have ever talked politics with somebody else? Now, if they agree with you, it's usually pretty good, right? You kind of start saying, and you start using certain words like they, or them, or those other people. How many of you have ever talked faith with a person that's of another tradition? How many of you have ever talked with someone who has a viewpoint completely opposite of yours on something else? When we get into those conversations, often it becomes quickly a personal, very personal sort of thing, unless you've got some good skills. You've got the ability to sort of sit down and have a conversation. And if you read much about how people talk about thought, most of us sort of have perceptions that are based from our experience and our understandings. And when we encounter someone else, it's difficult because whether there's a truth out there that the two of you might find, they're coming with their own perceptions and their own realities and their own experiences. And if those two things don't match up, sometimes you can't really get to a good conversation. But there's a danger because as those conversations continue, sometimes we can get into theys and thems and those other people out there. Sometimes it's called scapegoating. Sometimes it can be all kinds of things. And sometimes a society can dwell up lots of anxiety. And we can start to blame the people that seem to separate themselves in some way. Or we can blame people that are different. It's sort of based on our tribal understanding, and we still work a little bit like that. Do you know what I mean by that? It's sort of what's familiar to you is safe, and what's not familiar to you is a threat. It's a basic sociological phenomenon of our groupings. When we get into a group and we sort of mostly know each other, we feel pretty good, we sort of know what to expect. Can be sort of a large family, it can be a neighborhood, it can be a community. And then when someone comes in that's a little different, how do we approach that? We might approach it with suspicion or fear. I think many times this is more a root of our problem. Our inability to talk to one another and then our inability to see the other as us. In our baptismal covenant, we say a couple of things. One of them is, we respect the dignity of every human being. That's really not you know, a question that's rhetorical. It's meant to be a question that compels you to action. Will you respect the dignity of every human being? Another question that we ask is, will you strive for justice and peace among all people? Another question that there is not meant to be rhetorical, but to be one that calls us to action. We don't want to see that we have racism in our communities. We don't want to see that we can't have conversations with each other without cutting each other off. We don't want to see the violence existence in our streets. We really don't. But man, it's there now. It's there. Another group of Christians, our brothers and sisters, are gathering this morning at a church in Charleston to worship and to pray, just like us. But there's blood in their sanctuary. Because we can't see each other as children of God. And we're not doing the hard work that we might need to do. What kind of new way is God calling us to be? What kind of David is going to help us to get through this? Where is Jesus to calm the storm? Because the boat's rocking and the waters are stormy and the wind is blowing and we're afraid. Can we have faith? Can we find a different way? Can we find a better way? We can't fold our faith. We can't give up. We can't let violence win. We have work to do. I'd like to think I'm an evolved white male. You know what I mean by that? I'd like to think that I've sort of got it figured out, that I'm not a racist, that I'm not somebody who would think certain ways or do certain things. I'd like to think that. But then sometimes, when I see someone who's different, I still sort of guard my wallet. I still make assumptions. And when I think about the friends that I surround myself with, am I really seeking the other? Maybe not as much as I should. One of the things that our vestry did during its retreat was to think about the diversity in our congregation, both in how who we have at the altar, who we have in leadership, and who we are inviting into the church, and what we need to do to learn the different things to do that better. Not for the sake of being tokenistic about who's around, but for the sake of being authentically who we are as Christians, and to welcome all children of God into this sanctuary and into this community. So I think we have to figure out which clothes we're going to wear. Which clothes are the best ones to fit right now? And maybe what we need to put on is a clothing that helps us to see the children of God in all people surrounding us. Maybe the clothing we need to put on is one that invites us to calls us against violence, but towards peace. Maybe it's a clothing that calls us to be more truly the people of God than we've ever been before. We have some hard work to do. We have hard work to do in our society. So maybe if we get in those political discussions, or we get in those conversations with our neighbor, or we see someone that's different than us, or we notice someone in our work that is sort of on the outside, Maybe we do things differently. Maybe we have different conversations. Maybe we work for peace. There was a moment this week when I began to see Jesus calming the waters. In the courtroom, the family's victims said they forgave. I don't think I could. I hope I never have to be in that situation. But there was a moment of grace. That's faith. So maybe our challenge this week, as we learn, as we listen, as we find out more, is to see ourselves for the people that God intends us to be. To take the risk to respect the dignity of others. To take the risk to be at peace with our neighbor. To take the risk to love. And to see what God wants us to see. I think we're called to wear different clothes. I think we're called to find the Davids. And I think we're called to calm the waters. Amen.